This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It's 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. And when there's a football weekend, there's just all sorts of pettiness that comes out.
Yes.
Either our own pettiness or pettiness of others. And we celebrate it 8 a.m. with the Pettycast on Tuesday.
Yeah, and this is where we encourage everybody to let your petty flag fly.
Yes.
Just don't feel guilty or bad about it. Just indulge in being the worst kind of human being. Just take joy in the misery of others. Laugh at it.
Yep.
These are very real situations for these people that are causing a lot of pain, and we will laugh at it.
Text in if you got something you're petty about or something you saw this weekend, especially something we won't get to. I already see a text on something that didn't make the petty cast because the audio wasn't great, but I will mention a texter. Don't worry. And you know what you're talking. It's basketball related. We'll get to it, I promise. Petty as it gets. Probably the pettiest thing I saw this weekend was the University of Texas after a trouncing of Oklahoma. They had so many reasons to celebrate after that win. 34-3, they vanquish Oklahoma. And it looks like Texas is going to be going up for a long, long time. And OU's got a lot of things to figure out with Brent Venables as the head coach, including figuring out whether or not Brent Venables should be the head coach. Instead of celebrating that victory and all that went with it, a blowout of Oklahoma, their arch rivals, first time they ever played each other as SEC schools, Texas chose to take a Baker Mayfield jersey, spread it out on the logo at midfield, and jam a Longhorn flag like right through where his heart would be.
I give them such an A+
for pettiness.
Honestly, in this age of NIL, where you wonder how much of these kids even care about their specific alma mater or anything.
History.
They took the kid from Austin who went to Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield, and just flat out just like they it was an ode to their fan base and everything else. The history of the rivalry, various crap that Baker Mayfield's probably said in the last couple of years. It's kudos to the Longhorn kid.
You give it an A+ for pettiness. I do as well. It's as petty as it gets. That was 7 years ago. Or whatever it was.
Seven years ago. I mean, it's not. I don't approve of it, and yet at the same time, I kind of approve
of it. For now, we do.
From 8 to 8:18,
we do. Here's Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield actually was asked about this in his post-game press conference on Sunday after the Bucs win over the Saints.
I don't know if you paid attention to what happened in the Oklahoma game yesterday, but they planted your jersey midfield and stuck a flag through that. What's up with you catching some strays there?
That's just a kid from Austin, Texas. They went to Oklahoma and won his last two Red River games and being rent-free in their heads for almost a decade now. So, that's a good feeling.
I left the giggle in at the end from her.
I got to respect Baker Mayfield's pettiness there, too. Just bringing up the receipts and then also not afraid to just you know, flat out foment hate in his hometown.
Yep.
That he doesn't care when he goes back to his favorite pizza shop. That he's talking when he's you know, when he's ducking the cops mm-hmm. in Austin, trying not to get tackled. He's living that life.
Yep.
So A-plus on the pettiness for Baker Mayfield as well.
Good pettiness coming back. All right.
There's also a little bit of, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he claims he's from Victoria, even though he's actually from Austin, because it would have been stupid if he was from Austin and called himself Stone Cold Steve Austin. So likewise, he just kind of divorced himself from his hometown.
You do what you
Austin
do.
As well.
Yeah, you yeah. do what you do.
That's Rogan's town now anyway.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. Rogan. Yeah. And all the Callies coming in. Our weekly Deshaun Watson pettiness. Okay. And now, you know who's not around anymore who I kind of miss?
Who?
Is Deshaun's receivers aren't doing him any favors guy.
Oh, yeah.
That guy,
yeah.
Remember, he was around for a little bit the last couple of years. Like, oh, no, if you watch game to game, snap to
if
snap.
If you know ball.
You know
if
ball.
You know ball.
If you know ball guy. Yeah, he's yeah. not around anymore. You know why? Because some of these numbers for Deshaun Watson, it is astounding how historically bad he is this season. Through 6
yeah,
weeks.
Amidst other quarterbacks who also have bad receivers or yeah. whatever, other excuses to make, he's even worse than
he
them.
He doesn't have bad receivers anymore. He's got Amari
right.
Cooper. I mean, Jerry Judy's not what we thought he would be, but he's not terrible. He's got David Njoku. Like, he's actually got decent receivers. These I'm just going to give you a few of them. Bill Barnwell has an article on why the Browns should bench Deshaun Watson
mm-hmm.
that I got feeling sorry for Deshaun after, like, the first 8,000 words of it because he wouldn't stop. He wouldn't let up with the stats. He was like one of the Cobra Kai just kicking Daniel in the face in Karate Kid over and over and over. Eventually, the other Cobra Kai are like, hey, man, let him go. He's had enough. That's what I felt like with Deshaun, but I'll give you just a couple. Deshaun, as far as drop back success rating, which means you drop back and your play generates what it's supposed to, he, out of 741 quarterbacks this millennium, in weeks 1 through 6 of the season, Deshaun's success rate is 734th out of 741. Since 2007, 566 quarterbacks have thrown at least 100 passes in the first 6 games of a season. By the metric of first down generated per pass attempt, Deshaun Watson is last about out of 566. Think of the janky quarterbacks who have played since 2007.
Yeah.
Only 6 teams since 2000 have managed fewer trips to the red zone through 6 games than the 2024 Cleveland Browns. 6 teams in 24 seasons. His QBR is 21.5 for this season. There is only one other player within 15 points of him right now in terms of being bad, and it's Will Levis, who's at like 28 or 28 point whatever. I saw what you saw, Seth, too. About Big Cat from Barstool?
Yeah, Big Cat from Pardon My Take.
Yes.
He said something that honestly, you know, he was joking. He was just kind of trying to, he was like openly saying, I'm kind of trying to come up with a different angle on this. But I think it resonates in Houston especially. He's like, what if the Browns are just figuring, well, the best punishment for Deshaun is to actually make him do that thing that he hates, which is play football right now, because it looks like he just doesn't. He's
going
to make his money regardless, and it looks like he'd rather just be, I don't know, gallivanting about the world with his influencer girlfriend
mm-hmm.
and still earning that money than playing football. And that at this point, Browns fans are dead enough inside that they probably don't hate watching the game as much as Deshaun hates playing
yes,
the game.
It's a great
so,
take.
The Houston side of that is it was kind of, I mean, that's what Caserio did to Deshaun his last training camp here. Basically, it was like, oh no, you'll be out there. You'll be yeah. out there on the field and you're going to be, you'll be wearing a penny during scout team
yes.
walkthroughs and everything. No, you're going to have to walk past the media every day. You're going to be out there. We're not just going to make this easy for
I
you.
I love it. I love it. This is 92.3, the Fan morning host, Ken Carmen, losing his mind yesterday again over the Deshaun Watson situation.
I can't do the functional offense anymore because you know what functional offense is? At best, under 500 football. So the only way
functional.
That I can make any of this good, well, that's the thing. That's
99 was functional more functional
offense.
Than this.
Functional offense.
2016
you know
was more
you know
functional
what?
Than this.
Our co-host on a Tuesday is one of your leading scorers, and he's a safety. That's a functional offense. The safety's one of the leading scorers on a functional offense. So we have to what? We have to see this through? See what through? There's no light at the end of the tunnel. This is a life sentence. It's over. And the only way out that I can give anybody any hope at all, anybody any hope, is that if he keeps starting, that means they'll keep losing. And then you can have the conversation about Quinn Ewers or Shedeur Sanders, who looks sensational in a loss, by the way. I was more impressed of him because he lost Travis Hunter. Here I am talking quarterbacks all over again, Tone. Here we go.
It's October.
Here we go.
I mean, that is a great cut.
Rodney McLeod.
Yeah.
He's their third leading scorer right now. Yeah. Guess how many points he has?
He's got two touchdowns this year.
Yeah,
he's got 12 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got 12 points.
Amari Cooper is their second leading scorer with 12 points.
12 points.
They're tied.
Yeah, they're tied.
They're the top, and then their place kicker, Dustin
Hopkins.
Kicker's
number one, yeah.
So Amari Cooper is tied with the safety for most points scored on the team.
They have the most touchdowns on the team, the two of them.
Those two are, yeah, and they're the leading touchdown achievers.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Wow. Rodney McLeod is their, he's like their Tuesday weekly guest that they have.
They don't have a single other player on their offense with more than one touchdown.
Yeah, it's incredible. They're so bad. They're so bad. All right, let's keep it moving because I want to get to Nick Sirianni. If you missed it, Nick Sirianni, two things he did. Head coach of the Eagles, who's on the hot seat right now, despite beating the aforementioned Cleveland Browns this past week. They beat the Browns in Philly, and fans were still chanting, "Fire Nick, fire Nick." Well, Nick Sirianni chose to walk over and talk trash to those fans after the win. Got a lot of attention. Then he goes to the post-game press conference, where there were, I'm sure, plenty of difficult questions ready to be asked by the Philadelphia media, and he brought his three kids with him. Looked to be like ages 9, 5, and 3. You know, something like three little kids who all, throughout this 15 minutes, looked like they wanted to be anywhere but with their dad at the press conference. Like, the
he's
one kid's
like,
on
no,
his...
No, you're gonna, yeah.
They're, like, falling asleep, and they got their hand on their, you know, their face on their hand. Like, why are we up here, Dad?
He had one of them carry his pager for him. It's dicey stuff.
Yeah, so... Yeah. So, Nick Sirianni... Man, we could play multiple cuts from this press conference. This is a point where he gets real chippy with the media and actually curses during this, and his kids think that part woke them up. They thought that was pretty funny.
Because y'all are making a big deal about it. I mean, is it like, guys, we're going to figure it out. We're going to fix it. We've known how to score in the past. Like, we get it. You guys have a job to do, and you're going to fixate on one thing, and you're going to be like, oh, they haven't started fast, or they haven't turned the ball over. Like, we got it. Like, we're going to do everything we can do to fix it. Like, and I don't want that to be in their heads. That's why I'm basically telling you guys, all right, we got it. We'll figure it out. And so sometimes you get things in your head and you continue and it kind of, you know, works there. But like the defense started their ass off. The defense started their, it was 10-0 to start the football game off, and the defense didn't let up a play. And so they played their, so they started fast. Right, and we'll get it figured out on offense. We will get it figured out on offense. Do you think that was funny? All right.
He kissed his kid. You think that's funny? He interrupted questions. He stopped answers in the middle of answers multiple times in that press conference to like, hey, sit up straight, or hey, you think that's funny? Like if I were a media member up there, I would have been pissed.
and you are. It's one of those things It's one of those things that's like you see the tactic for what it is, and yet it's an effective tactic.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the one that's like, ah, screw this. I'm going to skewer their dad right in front of, right in front of them. I'm going to see. I'm going to. The biggest thing about Sirianni yelling at the fans was that if what triggered him was them yelling, fire Nick. I'm all for wearing your emotions on your sleeve, but that's. That's a me versus you thing, not a team versus you thing.
Yep.
He's making it about himself there if that's what triggered him. There's a certain part of being the head coach that, like, you got to be the guy that shows as an example of being able to ignore some of the slings and arrows.
Yes.
That you got to be above some of that.
For sure.
Him getting triggered by people who are specifically targeting him, that's where I think it goes off the rails too much. Somebody, and I don't know how much to read into this, somebody else from Philly had pointed out, they're like, dude, it looked like he cut his own hair before that game.
Oh, dude.
Like, he just...
It was bad.
Yeah. But I don't know if that... He always has a hat on, so I don't know if that's how he normally looks or not.
He doesn't look good.
It looks like he's going through some things.
Maybe.
And him bringing his kids up there, I didn't want to just jump onto that, okay, it's a human shield. It almost might be one of those things where, all right, the stress at work started to boil over to home, and he had to have a talk with his family about like focusing on the things that matter. But he's going through some stuff. Have you ever seen the SNL skit, the little song they did where Will Ferrell plays the math teacher that shows up at the high school kids' party?
No.
And he's going through some stuff. He's like twisting his wedding band as kind of just looking off into the distance.
That's Sirianni. And,
yeah, that's Sirianni. Yeah. It looks like he's going through some stuff. Yeah.
Last one here. I mean, we got a bunch of them. We may do some leftovers later in the show. I want to get to Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley, Tennessee Titans wide receiver. Will Levis is his quarterback. Keep in mind, Calvin Ridley chose to sign with the Titans this offseason. No catches. Didn't get targeted till the fourth quarter of the game. The loss to the Colts on Sunday. Here was Calvin Ridley.
They wanted to kind of make getting you targets and part of this offense a priority today, and to kind of not have it result in any catches. I guess what was kind of off that resulted in targets but no catches?
I had targets in what part of the game? I had targets?
Fourth quarter, a lot of them.
All right, then. So I need some in the beginning of the game too. Then like getting crazy for me. So, I just, it is what it is. But I suck today. It had to be better.
Good enough, Ben. We got the is. It is what it is. When it gets to it is what it is, that's bad. This is where I get petty. You chose to sign with the Titans. You knew what you were getting into. You knew Will Levis was their quarterback.
You left one disappointing quarterback for a lower drafted disappointing quarterback.
Yes.
You left one quarterback who's been a disappointment as a number one overall pick. To go to a guy that's a second-round pick that somebody took a flyer on.
Yeah. These guys
Will Levis does not seem like the guy who's wired for discontent in the receiving
field. Not at all. No. Not even one bit. We're getting a lot of texts. So, okay, the text I alluded to. Yeah. Someone said, tell me Dante DiVincenzo is on the Pettycast this week. I don't know if you saw this, Seth. Dante DiVincenzo, who's traded from the Knicks to the Timberwolves in the Karl Anthony Towns trade a few weeks ago. They played each other in the preseason, the Wolves and the Knicks, a couple nights ago. And Dante DiVincenzo kept looking over at Tom Thibodeau and barking at him at various times throughout the game. Like, he finished an and one, and he looks over. He's like, I guess I was told I couldn't finish, Tibbs.
Yeah.
He's bouncing the ball, getting ready to take the free throw, and is looking over at Thibodeau going, this is what happens when they let you run the show, Thibs. This is what happened. Like, he's barking. After the game, Jalen Brunson came over to DiVincenzo because they were teammates at Villanova. Yeah. And DiVincenzo started going after Brunson's old man, who's on the coaching staff with the Knicks, Rick Brunson.
It's him against the world.
Yeah, it was wild, man. So that is some good pettiness right there by DiVincenzo, I would say.
We should. We still got a few in the holster. We might have to. We might have to do a bonus petty.
Do some leftovers,
like 9:40 or something.
Yeah, do some leftovers. I think for sure. Because we got some.
There
good
was a
ones.
Show up in Boston. They've been split up since. I can't remember the really good Boston morning show that got crazy ratings. They would do it there every day. Their segment at the end was basically the leftover stuff they didn't get to.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
And it was fun.
Yeah,
I'll have to remember. I'll go back and play. Yeah,
is it Felger and Maz?
No, not the other ones.
The other one. Oh, Toucher and Rich.
Toucher and Rich.
Toucher
yeah.
and Rich. Yep. Yep.
Toucher and Rich. And they were just crazy successful. And they just, they saved the best stuff from the day for the last segment of the day.
Okay. I like that. I like that a lot. Someone is very petty about me cheering for the Yankees over the Guardians. I gave my reasons. You can be petty about it. I gave my reasons as to why.
Sean wants clarity and a limited number of people and fan bases to hate. And he'll continue. Like, he can just keep the Yankees in that hate bucket.
Yes.
Without having to add the Guardians to the mix.
My chat is full. I don't need Cleveland entering the chat. That's it, man. For sure.
Frankly, it's a soft stance by you, but whatever.
Okay. Right. Well, I'll get petty about that later. Okay, this is from a Longhorn fan. Real quick. Two things. One, you're talking about two or three players, not the entire University of Texas. Two, you can't spell loudmouth D-bag without three O-U's. Oh, that's pretty funny. And Baker Mayfield is the poster boy for that. That's pretty good. Loudmouth. Yeah. That's pretty good. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. That was the weekly Pettycast. What are we still waiting on from the Houston Texans? What's so funny?
All right, I'll tell you when we come back.
Okay.
Seth will tell us. It's a funny story.
Seth will tell us what's so funny when we come back. What are we still waiting on from the Houston Texans that we felt like we were promised, or maybe promised ourselves in the preseason, six games in? We will get to that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
People like pettiness, man. People love pettiness.
A lot of people are petty about my take on Steve Austin.
Yeah, the people are pointing out he's from Edna, Texas.
Yeah, you know, I was basing this off an interview I saw with him where he was explaining how he came up with his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I was from Austin. So he must have meant he was living in Austin at the time.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to call himself. He didn't want to say that, yeah, I'm from Austin. So he said Victoria, which is closer to Edna than Austin. So whatever. Yeah. I'm just quoting Steve Austin himself,
yeah,
a.k.a. Steve Williams.
It's also a little more redneck than Austin, and that character
right.
of his is super redneck.
He said he came up with a name. He had all these names thrown at him by WWE that didn't make it. They were cheesy as hell. It was
they
like
were
the
horrible.
Ice Monster.
Chili McFreeze
yeah.
was one of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah. So he came up with the name, and it was a badass name, except that he had no persona built up around it
yeah.
until he like just started. He had like the name, then he shaved his head, and it grew into what it was. Obviously,
after the races, yeah.
So many of these wrestlers, you hear these stories, and you wonder with just all these little decisions that were so key and critical.
Dude.
It's stressful. Like changing their character up was the thing that if they had kept being the character they were, like The Rock, if The yeah. Rock had kept being that goofy
Rocky Maivia, like yeah.
Yeah, like yeah. He never would have taken off and he never would have been who he is now. Just that one little decision.
Yep. Yeah.
So don't put too much pressure on yourself.
I love that you're watching the McMahon documentary. I love that. Like, this is great joy for me to see you kind of seeing the nuances of the wrestling business.
Oh, so real quick to pay off the one, what was the saying that the UT person had said? You can't spell.
Oh, you can't spell. Oh boy. Like you can't spell loudmouth D-bag without three OUs.
Without three OUs. Yeah. So when I was in college, I was in a fraternity that was basically an athletic dorm for the football team.
Yep.
Like almost like 95% of the guys in my fraternity were football players.
Mm-hmm.
We were the football house.
Right.
And because of that, we faced a lot of persecution, Sean.
I imagine
a lot of accusations of being dumb meatheads. Okay.
I could see that. Yeah.
One of these insults that we would have hurled at us, sometimes quietly and from mm-hmm. great distance by those nerds, was you can't spell dumb without D-U. So, which was hurtful. It was hurtful to me, Sean. Okay. It was painful. So one night we're out at a bar and we're sitting talking with a young lady, me and a few of my friends. And there's this kid who's a badass football player. Mm-hmm. He was like a warrior poet. He was actually a really, really bright guy. But also pretty drunk at the time.
Yep.
And this girl kind of just casually, jokingly said, like, you know what they say, can't spell dumb without D-U. And Chris, who was just off his rocker at this point, he thought he dunked on her. He said, oh, yeah, you know what? You can't spell diploma without D-U either. And...
Good one.
I've never seen somebody so own themselves thoroughly.
That's funny.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't back off of it. That was the worst part of it. That was the most embarrassing part.
I insist
part of it.
It is spelled with a D and a U.
Yeah, trust me, this kid was actually smart.
I do not trust you on that.
Some
I don't
poor
believe
life
you.
Choices sprinkled in here and there.
I don't believe you. All right, so what are we still waiting on that we felt like maybe we were promised or we promised ourselves in the preseason with the Texans? They're 5-1, so maybe our pettiness is dripping into another segment here. But what are some of the things, like Seth, what are the things you thought we would see, like the main thing you thought we would see that we have yet to see from this team?
The explosiveness in the passing game.
Yeah.
I think that's... and now it's almost gotten to a point where, okay, we understand what teams are doing. And yet, this is the part that really caught me by surprise, was my own hypocrisy in not realizing really the strange dynamic that the Texans going into last week's game were second in the league in yards per game through the air. Nico Collins was the leading receiver in the NFL going into that game.
Still is, by the way.
And
even
still
after,
is.
Yeah.
Nico and yet, I had kind of fallen into like, well, you know, teams are going to limit the passing game. So really what it is, it's not even that they've limited the passing game. It's that the Texans have been so bad at just actually scoring points
mm-hmm.
until last week. And that because of the run game, because of the penalties, all these other things are... Right in front of our eyes, the Texans were actually doing a really, really good job managing all of this cover two they're seeing. When it comes to still passing the ball effectively, they just haven't translated it into points. And it's because they weren't a complete football team for the first part of the season.
Yeah, that's the
At least that not, except for the Colts game when they had Joe Mixon, ironically.
Right. That's definitely the big one for me. You know, I think of Jonathan Gannon. Shots, explosives. That's what that means. I'm waiting for the pew of this offense. By the way, Nico Collins still leads the NFL in yards receiving. He's 2 yards ahead of Ja'Marr Chase, but the next closest guy after that is still well over like 50 yards. It's Chris Godwin is third.
And then, we could almost say that like after this week's game, let's say optimistically that Nico Collins is just being treated very conservatively and they wanted to force him into a situation where, okay, you got 4 weeks to rest and recover with this. If he comes back, he might really only be 2 games behind in the race.
Yes.
So the people game ground, he'll lose the spot this week most likely, but he's not going to be so far behind.
If he gets back, again, if it's only 4 weeks, you know, you got to get back. If it's only 4 weeks, I would say he's still, based on his performance the first 5 weeks of the season, probably still has a chance to be right up there, if not lead the league in receiving. Yeah.
He might be within 50 or 100 yards right this week. And then there will be 2 weeks where, the gap is going to increase.
Yeah.
But then just all you got to do, Nico, is come back and just keep reeling off 100-yard receiving
games.
That's
it, man.
Seems pretty simple to me.
That's it. Yep, the math works. I would say other things, Seth, that we felt maybe we were promised, but we promised ourselves that we haven't seen. Christian Harris in person anywhere other than one practice.
Like other than just walking through the locker room every now and then or what have you.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday about this, and I do think that we saw this with Joe Mixon. Mm-hmm. You get a real sense from Joe Mixon that, man, he really wanted to be back. And he's almost – Joe Mixon has had a couple sound bites where it almost feels like he's paranoid that people thought he was being soft or
yes.
something.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to play, and he's been agitating to play. And yet we weren't getting any information on it or anything. And sometimes when teams are trying to protect the players, it ends up kind of boomeranging back on them. With Christian Harris – The mystery of all of this, it hasn't resulted in people questioning whether Christian Harris is tough or anything, but it's just, it feels like it's more of a mystery than it needs to be. Did they not know that it was a serious deal back in August, or did they? Why are we sitting here, and why is it still this big, vast mystery that he has been out for as long as he has when maybe he could have just said it in the first week of camp?
Yep.
I don't know.
We'll mention here, Nick Caserio joins us on the show tomorrow at 7:30, Texans GM. Dalton Schultz, I think we touched on Dalton before. I don't want to pile on Dalton Schultz here, but I would say I was certainly, especially on the heels of a big contract extension, expecting to see a version of him that looked a lot more like the dialed in second half of the season last year version.
Yeah.
And that version we've not gotten yet so far of Dalton Schultz.
No, and especially when, okay, if you had told me, yep, teams are going to just play a lot of cover two and they're going to try to take the deep passing game out of it, I would think, oh, okay, well, this opens everything up for guys like Dalton Schultz, and he should be heavily targeted. And he's not been heavily targeted, and then last week when he was heavily targeted, he caught 50% of his targets. There's even a part of him, he does a good job of getting just enough yardage when he's barreling past the first down marker. Mm-hmm. It's done kind of in slow motion because he's not an explosive athlete or anything.
Yeah.
But even with some of those things, he's not doing it with the same oomph that he did last year down the stretch. So it's been odd.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Dalton Schultz hasn't been more of a factor.
We need more out of Dalton Schultz, no question. And again, this team's 5-1, so what they need is maybe being overstated. I'm hoping, especially given how much salary he's eating up now, he's a $12 million a year guy, that you get more out of Dalton Schultz. I'll add this one. Tommy Townsend, based on the preseason, I thought they upgraded a punter, and he's been very inconsistent this year. One possession, he's booming a 65-yarder to completely change field position. And then in the fourth quarter, he hits a 35-yard punt that lands at the 23-yard line. You know, it's just, if there were a circle of trust for the Texans, like we do for the Astros from time to time, Tommy Townsend would not be in it at this point. And I feel like your specialists almost, they can't be something you think about. You know what I mean? You need a reliable kicker and a reliable punter and a reliable long snapper.
I'm managing three told-you-so situations right now with listeners of ours who have been who were adamant with me all off-season long about just that it's a bigger deal losing Cam Johnston and that I'm sleeping on it and you shouldn't trust Tommy Townsend. And every single one of those three are coming at me with told-you-sos once weekly or in-game or what have you. Yeah, yeah. So it's this is personally...
Step it up, Townsend.
I'm being persecuted yet again.
You do not want Seth Payne on your bad side, Tommy Townsend.
No, Tommy Townsend.
Nope.
There's a long, long list of people that wish they'd treated me better,
That's
differently.
Right. That's right. We don't
go try to find that young lady that said you can't spell dumb without D-U. See if you can find her on Facebook.
Ask where she is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Just some leftovers from the Pettycast, somebody giving us the stat that the Browns are the only team who have not scored 20 points in a game yet this season. What a miserable existence that's got to be. Oof. Terrible.
The Texans right now, the 40 points helped a lot.
They're,
in scoring right now, they are 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. 14th in scoring.
Are you sure?
Points per game.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Asked me to do this.
I triple checked it.
Yeah, okay, good.
We've got an issue on this. Look, listen, everybody, pull back the curtain. We've got an issue right now is that we don't have a fact checker, so I'm my own fact checker.
Yeah.
Which is like asking Gomer Pyle to inspect his own weapon, okay? And to pack his own parachute. It just it doesn't end well.
It's what it was last week, at least. It hasn't always been bad. You had a bad week last week, that's all.
Had a rough week.
Yeah, that's all right. Turn the page, man. You flushed it. Dan Campbell loves one of his players. And when you hear this, it's really cool. And it makes us think, okay, D'Amico and Dan Campbell, I think, in some ways are cut from a very similar cloth. Who does D'Amico Ryans feel as strongly about as Dan Campbell feels about this guy? We will let you hear that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, the Detroit Lions rolled up the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday afternoon. 47-9 was the final score of that game. Detroit's really good. We're going to get to the power ranking of the power rankings at the top of the hour. And, you know, the Texans are bumping up against good teams like Detroit in these rankings. We'll get to that. They play Detroit in Week 10 on Sunday Night Football. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. But that was cool watching the Lions do what they did to the Cowboys, because we hate the Cowboys here in Houston. Yes. That was good.
Many people and institutions that have persecuted me through the years.
The Cowboys?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so it was good to see Dan Campbell do your bidding on Sunday and beat them 47-9. As far as Lions who had big games that day, David Montgomery had 12 carries for 80 yards and a couple of touchdowns and just ran violently. Like, David Montgomery is a...
angry runs.
Yeah, he's an underrated back. I like Montgomery a lot, and so does
he. The hell out of the Cowboys.
Yes.
Like, he made them look decrepit. I don't care how many backups were out there. As Micah Parsons lounged on the sideline, joking around and chatting up with everybody else. Yeah, like, the guys that should have been playing their asses off were just letting David Montgomery truck them.
Just truck them. Dan Campbell, after the game, said that, or was this after the game, or did he say this? Where did he say this?
This was either after the game or on Monday, talking about David Montgomery.
Yeah, talking about David Montgomery. Take a listen to this. This is a head coach who absolutely loves a player.
These old bones can't play anymore, all right? This old beat-up body. But you just makes you, you could put yourself there, and you just wish you could play with that guy. Like, it makes me want to, I wish I could have played with him. He's that type of runner, and he's that type of teammate, and it's inspiring. It's inspiring, and I love it, man. I love the demeanor, I love the attitude, and he won't go down, and he's resilient, and he's tough.
All right, that's high praise, and they backed it up. They gave him a contract extension this week. David Montgomery, he got paid.
You hear me, Brandon Ayuk? Yeah. He's like, get an extension, go out and perform, damn it.
Go run some people over, man. Yeah. It ended up working out for Ayuk in the end, but yeah, he hadn't played up to that level.
No, yet. It worked out in turn. No, like, get the contract and then perform.
Yeah.
That's what we saw out of Montgomery.
Yep.
I didn't see that out of Ayuk.
Got you. I think Dan Campbell and D'Amico Ryans are very similar in some ways. You know, obviously different backgrounds, different positions and whatnot. But I think for both of them, I think very high on their list of things that make them a good coach and things that they believe in is connecting with guys personally, and believing in guys that have. I think Dan Campbell, I don't know if he's got some sort of acronym like D'Amico does with Swarm, but I think Campbell's very swarmy. You know what I mean? Right? It's the second time you laughed, and I don't know why you're laughing.
I'm sorry. It just makes it sound like it's something that, like, you know, not everybody's got an acronym.
Oh, I didn't mean for it to sound that way.
No, I know, but it is like, hey, look, he does a lot of good things. I don't know if he's got an acronym,
right,
but otherwise, he's got some good things. I would guarantee you there are no fewer than 38 motivational posters and phrases and acronyms up in the Lions facility.
Campbell's
You're not a coach. You don't get a job without having an acronym. That's one of the first things these owners are looking for.
Well, especially when you've never been a coordinator like Campbell. You better have some acronyms.
Oh, yeah, you better have an acronym. Yeah.
D'Amico, I'm guessing there's guys that D'Amico loves as much as Dan Campbell loves David Montgomery.
Yeah.
If you had to guess, you know, if you had to guess who a viral video clip like that would pop up for D'Amico talking about, what would your power ranking look like?
I think, and I know a lot of people, immediately would think Azeez Alshire.
I do.
I feel like with Azeez Alshire, I think those two will talk about it. They go back and forth with each other. Aziz is a lot like D'Amico, but in terms of personality, Aziz is a little bit more just like he's a junkyard dog in a lot of ways. And I think that he and D'Amico go at each other, but not in a way that's ever, you know, going too far or anything. But I think it's a different type of relationship. I don't think that D'Amico necessarily feels paternalistic about Al Shire. He might look at him more as a peer. I feel like Damian Pierce has got to be the one that he most feels like you just love the kid. That's how I feel about Damian Pierce, and that's how it was so hard for me to have the opinions I did of him over training camp, was because I absolutely love everything about that kid, except for his actual performance on the field last year. So I think Damian's probably the favorite. D'Amico will say a lot of really nice things about his players. We've never quite seen that level of profession, I guess, like professing love and admiration for a player out of D'Amico the way Dan Campbell did.
Campbell said he wishes he could have played with the guy. You know, like I've not heard.
That's the ultimate honor right there.
I wish I could have played
Dan Campbell. Wish he could have been an Aggie back in 1996. You know,
right. Will Anderson. I mean, Will D'Amico.
Oh.
D'Amico. You know, follow 51. Remember he said that in the preseason? Like, follow what I tell our young guys is follow 51. Do what he does.
All right, you're right. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's got to be Will Anderson.
Yeah. It can be more than one, but Will is like, you're getting some texters.
No, there
Will
can only be one. D'Amico doesn't really like any of these other guys. It's going to be one. The other is just all fake hustle out of D'Amico.
Yeah, I think it's Will.
It helps that Will Anderson is still afraid of the dark, too. That helps it feel a little bit more paternalistic.
Like vulnerable.
Like, man, this kid just plays his butt off and everything, but he's also scared of the dark.
Yeah, yeah. I have my watch list for this thing. I would put Diggs on the watch list for it. I think D'Amico loves Stephon Diggs. I think D'Amico would love to coach Stephon Diggs for more than just this one season. I think he loves having Stephon Diggs on his team. Joe Mixon. We're running that promo right now where he gets asked about Joe Mixon's energy, and D'Amico almost has to pause and fan himself a little bit talking about Joe Mixon's energy level.
Stephon Diggs is an interesting one because, man, I talked about earlier, I'm just getting such an appreciation for how many of the little things he does right. Like, he's the textbook guy. If you're, you know, we say with Pena, I'll always say, like, yeah, that's what you want to point to him in terms of a guy that's always running his butt off to first.
Yeah.
He's going to turn everything into a contested catch, all of that. But Stephon Diggs, if you're a young wide receiver, watch Stephon Diggs operate. His route running, the little stuff, like just aggressively coming back for the ball. Like, all of these things. His awareness and understanding of how to read defenses, he's just the consummate professional. It makes it so weird that he's also just had those episodes and those blips where he doesn't act like the ultimate professional off the field all the time.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. And I would take what you're saying about, you're talking about Stephon, you know, on game day kind of. I would say go back to training camp and just watch. I mean, we saw it every day. The way that guy attacks practice is different. He's, you know, like, he is different.
You can see it makes me more open to the old argument. I always hate the argument of, like, well, this guy just acts this way because he's the ultimate competitor. Mm-hmm. Almost as if, like, if you don't act that way, you're not competing as hard.
Right.
Like, it's possible to be the ultimate competitor without also spouting off on social media at times. Mm-hmm. You know, and yet there is that part of him where it's an explanation. It's like, yeah, I think he runs hot and he focuses that energy into his work. It's just sometimes it boils over into other areas.
Jalen Petrie is one I had thought of, and it's one that's getting some love on the text page right now for being one of D'Amico's guys. And I know that the level of play certainly, you know, has not been last year. I'm talking more than that. He's been much better this year than he was last year. But I do think kind of Jalen's makeup is in that D'Amico realm. You know what I mean? He loves contact, plays physical. Yeah. You know, he's got leadership qualities, obviously. Sometimes he's a little overly aggressive, probably, admittedly, for him.
No, and I think that's part of it with Will Anderson, too, is that you love having these kids that almost have so much energy, and you got to figure out a way to harness it.
Yeah,
and Jalen and Petrie and Will both have that. It's a little, you know, it's different flavors of it, but there's both an element there. They're like, all right, we need to learn how to contain some of this and bottle it up and let it out in smaller doses. That, you love those kids as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, compared to the kid that just is incredibly physically talented, but doesn't play all that hard.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll take overly rambunctious any day of the week over the guy that's physically gifted but doesn't play that
hard. Yeah, it's way easier to rein somebody back in than it is to give somebody that push, that nudge.
What was the old Ted Johnson saying? If they don't bite his puppies, they're not going to
bite his dogs. Yeah. If they don't bite his puppies, they won't bite his dogs. So, all right, power ranking the power rankings. Where do the experts see your Houston Texans this week? They come out every Tuesday. We've got them here. We will rate the outlets as to how they rated your Houston Texans. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.